My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is Putting Faith on the Shelf. Our text, James chapter 2, verse 14. Faith is certainly an essential element in the Christian life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. The Christian is saved by faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. The Christian is to walk or live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And whatever we do apart from faith is described as sin. Romans 14, verse 23. What is faith? What does it mean to believe in God? Some Christians think it means blind acceptance. You've just got to believe. Steven Pinker, an evolutionary psychologist who opposed mandatory religious classes at Harvard, defines faith as believing in something without good reason to do so. Today, we will define the word faith, discuss the nature of faith, and from the book of James, show that saving faith must be made visible. The Hebrews writer said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Greek word translated substance means to stand under, a foundation, firm, trust, assurance. The Greek word translated evidence means conviction. Our assurance and conviction pertains to things hoped for, such as the coming of the Lord. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, the resurrection of the dead. Acts chapter 24, verse 15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Our assurance and conviction pertains to things which we have not seen, such as the existence of God, whom no man has seen or can see. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. Also, how the world began. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 3. In his article, What is Faith?, Wayne Jackson cites five facts about faith from Hebrews chapter 11. First, faith is rational. By faith, we understand that the universe is not self-existent. Rather, it was designed by the Creator. The notion that one cannot be intelligent without being anti-religious is a myth propagated by those who hate God. Second, faith depends upon revelation. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Number three, faith involves trusting the Creator. When Noah was warned of God, though he had never seen a flood, prepared an ark. Abraham left Chaldea, not knowing where he was going. Clearly, trusting an unseen God is a vital component to true faith. Number four, faith discriminates. Moses chose heavenly riches over the treasures of Egypt. Biblical faith chooses the spiritual over the material, the eternal over the temporal. And number five, faith is an action word. 11, faith, in order to be valid, must act. The Hebrews writer shows how faith in God was seen through the works or actions of Abel, Enoch, Sarah, Joseph, Rahab, and others. The book of James also teaches that saving faith must be made visible. Martin Luther said the book of James was a book of straw because he found the book's emphasis on good works unattractive. Luther thought the theme of good works contradicted Paul's teachings on faith. Well, we know there is no contradiction between James and Paul on this or any subject. The book of James was written in the background of the problem that the Jews had and all people have, and that is, will outward actions without inward faith make us acceptable to the Lord? From the beginning to the end of his epistle, James appeals to Christians to make their lives consistent with their profession of Christianity. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Commenting on this verse, Don Iverson said, James uses a hypothetical character to illustrate the necessity of faith coupled with works. He begins by asking two questions in order to show the hypocrisy of people that believe in salvation by faith only. We live in a world that professes faith in Christ while living a life of sin. Is it enough that one simply professes faith and love for Christ? Can one have true faith in God without that faith being manifested through their outward actions? The way James phrases verse 14 answers the question with a resounding no. Faith in Christ and works are inseparable. John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Speaking to those who believed in him, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is not just something you know, but something you do. Knowing the truth will not set us free, but doing the truth will set us free. John chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. According to Jesus, if a man does not bear fruit, he cannot be saved. If we practice, keep on doing evil, we hate Christ. But when we practice, keep on doing the truth, we demonstrate our faith and love for God. In another instance, Jesus illustrates the value of outward actions over lip service when two brothers were commanded by their father to go work in his vineyard. One son said he would go, but he did not. The other said he would not go, then repented and went to work in his father's vineyard. Jesus asked the question, which of the two did the will of his father? The answer is obvious. The justified brother was the one whose loyalty was demonstrated by his faithful, obedient actions. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. Paul recognized the impossibility of separating works and faith when he commended the Thessalonians for their work of faith. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. words at the judgment scene in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. The dead will be judged not only according to their faith in God, but also according to their outward actions, whether good or bad. James chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works." The idea is that one person may excel in one thing and another excel in something else. But this does not mean that both may not be acceptable to God. Show me your faith without or apart from your works. The challenge is to demonstrate or prove the existence of faith without any outward change of life. This is impossible to do. One who continues to walk contrary to God's word lacks proof of their faith. And I will show you my faith by my works. Jesus offered his works as evidence of his divinity in John chapter 5, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. According to God's word, true faith is demonstrated only through works or outward actions that are in harmony with God's word. Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." The wise man hears and obeys God's commands. The foolish man hears and disobeys God's command. It is as simple as that. One who boasts about his faith but never does any good works must be doubted. Faith in God is designed to change a person's attitude and actions. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man is clearly seen by all. Think about the faith of Abraham and other Old Testament saints. Their faith was not just a matter of talk. Their confession of faith in God was demonstrated by rejecting the world and following God. Think about the faith of the apostles when called by Jesus into service. They left all to follow the Lord. Their conversion was evident to all. Paul the persecutor counted all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for a lack of inward faith. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Tombs were annually whitewashed to prevent the people from accidentally coming in contact with them as they went up to Jerusalem. The Pharisees wore clothes which symbolized spirituality and holiness. concept like many religious people do today. However, such clothing meant nothing to God. Jesus said everything on the outside was cleansed, but on the inside there was corruption. This is the point that James is making. Faith that is not used is worthless. To profess faith in God and then put our faith on the shelf is to misunderstand the place, purpose, and value of our faith. Let's look at three examples in the book of James where our faith must work. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The American Standard Version says, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. Our faith in God is to be used in the trials of life. God tests us to bring out our best. Satan tempts us to bring out our worst. It is as if we are put into a furnace and melted down to get all the impurities out of our spiritual life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Could our lack of patience be due to the fact that we have laid our faith on the shelf when confronted with the trials of life? How easy it is for us to be critical of other people who are going through difficult times. Oh, I'd never do that. That person should trust the Lord. If we have never walked in their shoes, how do we know that we would not do exactly what they did? And maybe we would do worse than what they had done. But when our strong faith in God sustains us through the storms of life, we will develop patience and be more understanding towards other people. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Whenever faith is used in trials, it produces patience, steadfastness, and endurance. Our faith in God through the good and bad times of this life produces a well-balanced life. Not only are we commanded to use our faith in trials, we are to use our faith in prayer. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Whenever we go to God in prayer, it must be an expression of our faith. To pray for a thing and at the same time lay our faith on the shelf renders our prayers useless. In the model prayer, Jesus warned the disciples about the Pharisees, who would pray on the street corners to be seen by men. There was no faith in their prayers. When we pray for our daily needs without faith, we are guaranteed to get nothing in return. But when we are conscious of God's riches and grace and the promises in His Word, then we will come boldly to the throne of grace, trusting that God hears and that He will answer. In Egyptian bondage, the children of Israel cried unto God. So God heard their groanings, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. When the children of Israel found themselves oppressed by their enemies, they cried unto God. And out of that earnest cry, God's ear was opened. We cannot please God without faith. He tells us the destiny of those who lack faith in Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If the church wishes to fulfill its command to teach the world, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, we must be a praying people who have total confidence in the Father. Do we have faith that God hears and answers our prayers, or do we pray with our fingers crossed? And third, our faith does not show partiality. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. Whenever we are guilty of showing respect of person, we have laid our faith on the shelf. Faith has to do with the inside of a man and not the outside. Clothes, education, status, and wealth mean nothing to God. We all stand on common ground before Him. In God's eyes, there is no difference between the president and a man in the gutter, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only remedy to the problem of sin is the gospel of redemption. The same door is open to each and every one of us. One of the dangers of this world is measuring people by outward appearance. Remember, Paul rebuked Peter to his face because he would not eat with the Gentiles. Peter laid his faith on the shelf and gave in to peer pressure. My friends, the next time we are tempted to measure somebody by outward appearance, we need to remember that God is no respecter of person. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? This verse is the heart and key to the whole book of James. If the faith that we possess cannot save us, it is useless. How many people will one day stand before God and find out that their so-called faith was not according to His Word? Answer: all those who enter eternity through the wide gate that leads to destruction. Christianity and faith is something that is inward. They have to do with the mind and the heart of man. While faith is invisible and you cannot see it with the eye, in order for it to be practical and worthwhile, it must be made visible. In fact, there is no evidence of faith in God until others can see it in a changed life and outward actions that are patterned after God's Word. There is only one thing I want faith to do, and that is to get me through this world and get me to heaven when this life is over. How about you? The book of James has been called the book of practical advice and common sense. This book deals with everyday religion. Is there someone listening this morning that is not a Christian? Well, you may say, I have faith in God and trust Jesus every day. But have you ever shown that faith? Your profession of faith needs to be manifested. Well, how do you do that? The Bible teaches that one who has faith in God shows it by repenting of sins, giving up the things of this world. When one has Bible faith, he will follow the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, who confessed openly and outwardly the faith that was in his heart. And he said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" We know with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses their faith. How does one know what is in a man's heart? He confesses it while and until he has done that,